You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Just when you thought the Chicago Bears kicker carousel was over, Cairo Santos drags us back in. Welcome in to another Locked On Bears podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I cover the Chicago Bears for BearsWire. I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today, we will discuss the latest change at kicker, with Eddie Pinero going on injured reserve and Cairo Santos soon to take over. Then we will hear from General Manager Ryan Pace on his state of the roster and how he envisions this Bears defense in particular coming together this season. And we'll wrap up with some comments from rookie cornerback Jalen Johnson that are honestly impressive and show just that veteran maturity that he's already bringing before his first NFL game. If you listen to this podcast every day, you heard on Monday we talked about how the changes to this Bears 53-man roster were not over, even after the group had been set after the weekend roster cutdowns. The latest is the expected one that Eddie Pinero was placed on injured reserve officially, and Cairo Santos is being called up from the practice squad to replace him. Now, the important key here is the changes to injured reserve that the NFL is allowing specifically for this 2020 season, I think in large part due to the COVID concerns that roster depth and flexibility is going to be particularly critical as the year goes on. And so what the NFL is allowing teams to do is place anyone on injured reserve and then remove them from injured reserve after a minimum of 3 weeks. You can do it as many times as you want, with as many players as you want. I believe you can even do it with the same player. You know, take him down for 3 weeks, he gets hurt again, you can take him down for another 3 weeks and still bring him back to your 53-man roster to create some of that flexibility to bring in a kicker short-term so you don't have to have two kickers on your 53-man roster while Eddie Pinero is hurt. You can free up that roster spot, have Cairo Santos come in from the practice squad, and you're set without having to just waste space on an injured player that's not necessarily going to be injured the full season. We don't know the full extent of Eddie Pinero's injury, but we know that he never did any kicking in front of the media at training camp practices. And that represented a good week and a half's worth of practices that were open in that way. He was just never able to fully participate because of the injury that he's dealing with. It was never to a point where, like, it's going to totally shut him down for the whole season. As far as we know, it didn't seem like it was that serious to where he's in, you know, a cast or needs surgery or anything drastic like that. But enough that he's going to miss the next 3 weeks at a minimum because of the new injured reserve rules. They brought in Cairo Santos a couple of weeks ago, sort of put some of the writing on the wall because Santos was able to kick and Eddie Pinero was not, but ultimately started out with Pinero on the initial 53-man roster, Santos on the practice squad. That is now changed with Pinero on injured reserve. And I guess the question is, what level of confidence do you have in Cairo Santos? Because certainly he has more experience than the other kicker they had this offseason, Ramiz Ahmed, who was an undrafted free agent who had never kicked in the NFL before. But Cairo Santos' recent track record has not been great. In fact, I'd say that's an understatement. Last year, he played 5 games with the Tennessee Titans and was 4 of 9 on field goals. That's 44.4%. The year before that, 2018, he split time with the Rams and Buccaneers, combined at 77.8%, 14 out of 18. A little bit of a bigger sample size, but anytime you're getting a guy falling at all below 80%, it's a bad year for field goals. And in his career, of course, the familiarity is with Matt Nagy. 3.25 seasons in Kansas City. You know, his rookie season, 83.3%, sophomore season, 81.1%. And then in 2016, he was a career high 88.6%. That's the kicker Matt Nagy remembers and says he has some real trust in to be able to come into situations and make kicks. And obviously that consistency pretty well eroded. You remember Cairo Santos spending brief time with the Bears in 2017 went 1 of 2 on his field goals during that early kicker carousel. And it's hard to know exactly what Santos you're going to get, because I can understand where if you're a kicker that has to, you know, spend a season, you start out with the Rams, then go to the Buccaneers, and then you're a free agent for a while, and then you come into Tennessee and just have to kick off the streets, that you're not necessarily in the best position to be your best and to be the most accurate kicker you can be. So to some extent, some of that maybe, I don't want to say excuses, or maybe it explains the 44% field goal kicking we saw last year in Tennessee. But at the same time, we've also seen good kickers come off of the streets, step into a game, and kick at a high percentage. So clearly there's a reason Cairo Santos was around. He's not going to come into Chicago and be a lights-out kicker by any means. But for the most part in his career, kicks under 40 yards have been pretty much automatic. You know, especially before last season, it had been pretty solid on all of those kicks short of the 40-yard mark. And then, you know, most kickers will struggle with the 50-plus, and he's been a little bit below average in the 40 to 49 range as well, which is a little bit concerning. His extra points were 100% last year and pretty well the year before that. So no real concern on the real gimmies. It's just a question of, can you trust him in any sort of long kicks and any sort of difficult decisions and situations? Probably not. There's a reason he's coming up off your practice squad, but he'll at least be able to plug in and get the bare minimum stuff for you, in theory, until Eddie Pinero's able to return from his injury. Hopefully that's the last we'll have to talk about kickers all season, because if the field goals go in and everything is consistent, it's not really one of those positions you talk about that much unless things are going poorly. So hopefully we'll be able to focus more of our time on everything else going on with this roster. A lot of question marks to be answered, but a lot of confidence in this Bears defense from their general manager, who clearly put an emphasis in improving some certain areas on that side of the ball to make sure that they would be ready to go in 2020. We'll hear Ryan Pace explain the importance of the addition of Robert Quinn, as well as hinting at the reason why Prince Amukamara and Kevin Tolliver are no longer here. All that and more next on Locked On Bears. We are so close to real Bears football on our televisions, and even better afterward, real game film to break down again. And the only place you can get NFL game film is from NFL Game Pass. You get football on your time with every snap from every game available on full game replays, or you can use condensed games to see all the plays in just 45 minutes. You get to relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game, every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes, where you go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best, like Eddie Jackson and Akeem Hicks, for example, and so many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. So go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. Football certainly never stops for Ryan Pace, who's always scouring the free agent market or preparing for the next NFL draft. I mean, it is nonstop for him and his scouting staff. But he did take a little bit of time to answer some questions from the media as we start this season. Usually there's a lot of fireworks right before week one in Ryan Pace's history with contract extensions and blockbuster trades and things like that. But this time, for the most part, it was just the decision on the quarterback competition. Ryan Pace didn't have much to add about Trubisky and that situation, but I thought he had some interesting comments about the value of Robert Quinn in this pass rush and sort of weighing in on the ongoing debate about the value of pass rush versus the value of good coverage. And I thought in there he snuck in a little bit of something that's particularly interesting. So listen here, he'll talk about the importance of Robert Quinn, and there's some good context that he adds there. But then he talks a little bit about ball skills in the secondary. And I want you to think, as you're listening to Ryan Pace talk, think about the players in the secondary that have left in the last couple of seasons and who they've been replaced with.
It all starts with affecting the quarterback. You know, hitting the quarterback, getting after the quarterback, affecting his timing, and makes your whole defense better. You know, it's a passing league. I think if you hit the quarterback, your corners are better, your safeties are better, and it's just such a valued position. It's a hard position to find. You usually got to draft it really high, or you got to pay it in free agency. And it's a really valued position. I think when you take the pass rush that we have, not just with the two outside linebackers, but our interior pass rush too, and you couple that with guys that have ball skills in the secondary. So, our safeties, our corners, including the rookie, our nickel, all those guys have ball skills. So if you're hitting a quarterback, those balls are going to get thrown up. And I think there's a lot. We used to always talk, I remember Coach Payton used to always say this, what's the risk at throwing at this corner? Because if they don't have ball skills, what's really the risk? It's going to be a completion, incompletion, or pass interference. Well, as we've loaded up the secondary with guys that have ball skills, with a defense that can generate that kind of pass rush, that can equate to a lot of turnovers.
Personally, I tend to side on the other end of the spectrum in the idea that having good players in coverage forces a quarterback to hold the ball longer and gives your pass rush more opportunity to get home, whereas a quarterback can neutralize pass rush a little bit more by getting rid of the ball more quickly and different things the offense can do to neutralize those guys getting after the quarterback. But that's not the point that I want to get at with what Ryan Pace said there. But he said, you know, you want cornerbacks and defensive backs with ball skills because when the quarterback just puts it up there, you want a guy that can go and get it. And I can't help but think about the changes the Bears have made in the secondary the last couple of seasons. Like, that's partially why Adrian Amos was not re-signed. They would let him go to the Green Bay Packers because although he was a very good player in coverage and in run defense, his skill set did not feature a lot of great ball skills. Was not a player that got a lot of interceptions and big pass breakup plays on the ball. And at cornerback, Prince Amukamara released this offseason. Not a guy, I mean, that was for financial purposes because his contract was expensive, but not a guy known for ball skills and turnovers, just a really solid man-to-man press cover cornerback. And they're replaced first by HaHa Clinton-Dix at safety, who's, again, known for some ball skills and some interceptions. And now this year, Tashawn Gibson starting next to Eddie Jackson. He had three interceptions, including a pick six last year for Houston with 8 pass breakups. He's had seasons with 4, 5, and 6 interceptions as well, a versatile skill set there. And then Jalen Johnson takes over at cornerback now. He only had 2 interceptions last season at Utah, but had 8 pass breakups with that for really 10 plays on the ball there that had the opportunities to maybe be interceptions. The year before that, he had 4 picks and 5 pass breakups, and it's part of his skill set. He does have ball skills, and sometimes the actual interception stat itself can be a little bit luck-based, depending on the throws that are thrown your way, the routes, the schemes, and even the coverages that you find yourself in. But regardless, the skill set is there for Jalen Johnson and the ball skills. And, you know, even Kevin Tolliver, who was kind of a surprise release this season for the Bears, more in that Prince Amukamara role of a physical cornerback on the outside who wasn't a big ball skills player, didn't have any interceptions, albeit on pretty limited snaps in this Bears defense over the last couple of seasons. So to me, it's really telling us something key about how Ryan Pace likes to build his roster, particularly in his secondary, that he is going to value those turnovers and those ball skills ahead of guys that maybe are just as good at covering or sometimes in some cases better, really good coverage players at points in their career, but just don't have that same skill set. He's going to prioritize the guys that can make plays on the ball because he's prioritizing the pass rushers first and foremost. That's why we shouldn't be surprised that Jalen Johnson has already been named a starter for week 1 at cornerback, because not only does he have the skill set that Ryan Pace likes, but he's really carrying himself like a veteran, preparing like a veteran. It doesn't seem like he's in that same rookie mode that a lot of other players can be at this stage in their career, especially without OTAs or a minicamp. We'll hear from the young cornerback on his own perspective on his development and how he's getting ready for week 1 next on Locked On Bears. You want to know how I'm getting ready for week 1? Just today, I legitimately placed another order for another box of Built Bars because I'm going through them so fast because they taste so good and their nutrient macros are everything you want and none of the garbage you don't need. I love their new caramel brownie and cookies and cream flavors. Their redesigned formula somehow is even better than before. It really is sweet and chewy and tastes just like a candy bar, but we're talking 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbohydrates. It sounds like it's too good to be true, but every time I taste one, I'm reminded just how good they are. I've legitimately never had anything like it, and I can't get enough. I really do urge you, just try it for yourself. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON, locked on, for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. The Bears released their unofficial depth chart this week that listed Jalen Johnson as a starting cornerback, but it's important to keep in mind, generally speaking, that those unofficial depth charts are very unofficial. It's not as though Matt Nagy and his coaches sit down and say, okay, we're going to craft the most accurate depth chart based on everything we've got. Some teams will just have like their PR person or their social media person throw one together and put it up on the website, and sometimes there's even like some gamesmanship in there where you're a little bit less than completely honest on that depth chart to maybe try and get teams to think one thing and then surprise them with something different. But it sounds like in this specific case with Jalen Johnson, the unofficial depth chart is accurate. The rookie cornerback confirmed himself that, yes, the team told me I am starting in week one. Although I'm willing to put a caveat on that I'll explain in a little bit here. But for now, we know for sure he's going to have a major role in this opening game against the Detroit Lions. The Lions will know that and will likely be preparing for a rookie cornerback on the outside that Matthew Stafford may try to target with their really effective receivers, Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones. Both make a lot of cornerbacks' jobs difficult. They're particularly good at winning contested catches where they don't need a ton of separation from you. They're just going to go up and get it and challenge you to win at the catch point, which is where those ball skills that Ryan Pace was talking about certainly come into play. But it's going to take some real smarts, instincts, consistency, understanding from Jalen Johnson. And from his perspective, it sounds like that's where he's the most confident and seen the most growth in himself.
I came along just in the mental aspect of being able to learn the defense, just being able to fill out NFL offenses and going against Nick Foles and Mitch every day. I mean, it just pushes you to be better and just try to figure out what offenses are trying to do to attack. And even going against Allen Robinson and all the top receivers that we have just pushes your game and elevates your game to the next level. So, I mean, just naturally going against good competition every day, I would say elevated my game. And I mean, I would expect every quarterback to go after the rookie. Cause I mean, that's what I would do if I was a quarterback. So, I mean, just for me, it's just about preparing myself to be able to make plays in those positions. And even if I give up plays, just keep a strong mindset to just keep pushing.
What was it like to be kind of limited in practice for a while? Like how frustrating was that? I mean, did you get tired of running back and forth from sideline to sideline during team drills? And I take it, are you now physically clear to do everything in practice right now?
Yeah, I'm clear. I wouldn't say I was ever frustrated. It was just part of the process that I knew that I had to go through during the training camp. So, I mean, I was just always trying to find ways to get better. So, I mean, I was always one of the last one off the field after practice doing my own individual work just to kind of make up for the work that I couldn't do with the team. So, I mean, it was just about always trying to find a way to get better and to be better and not just be complacent.
It's really spoken like a veteran cornerback there. I mean, he gets it very early in his career. He understands preparation, mental toughness, and how much of that goes into the success he's going to have in his NFL career and being confident in his skill set, understanding that he is going to make mistakes and teams are going to get the better of him at times, but not let that define him or affect him in any way. And I think that's important to kind of keep in mind with Detroit in week one is that, yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised to see Marvin Jones or Kenny Golladay make a couple of big plays against Jalen Johnson, but that's not going to be a judgment on his rookie season or his career, certainly not just based on one game or one throw or a small sample size like that. But I think his words there and some of the words we've heard from his coaches and teammates throughout this really give me a lot of confidence that he's going to pan out in some way, shape, or form, that he's got the requisite tools to not be the bust, to not be the guy who flames out of the league because he doesn't try hard enough or he's immature or doesn't get along with teammates or doesn't take care of his body. I mean, Jalen Johnson checks all of those boxes, and so then it's a question of just how good will he be and how good can he be. I think the floor is absolutely 100% there, and the ceiling is there too. I mean, there is a high ceiling here, but we know that he's not going to bust out and be this useless NFL player. He's going to at least be a contributor in some way, and I'm excited to see in what way and how quickly we see him take that next step. Because even though he's a quote-unquote starter against the Detroit Lions, he's listed first on the team's unofficial depth chart. That doesn't matter all that much, but he did say that the Bears told him he will start against the Lions. But that doesn't necessarily mean for sure that he's going to be out on the field when the defense takes their first snap against the offense. That in the modern NFL, defenses play their nickel package more than their base package. That essentially your package with five defensive backs on the field are more or less your starters. And so you really only start, in the Bears' case, two defensive linemen and four linebackers and five defensive backs in their nickel package. And so it's possible that the Bears could still be planning for Buster Screen to play outside cornerback in their base defense. If they've got the 3-4 personnel in up front and only two cornerbacks on the field, it could still be Buster Screen and Kyle Fuller on the outside. And then when the Bears are in their nickel package, Jalen Johnson comes in to play outside cornerback and Buster Screen moves inside. And because Johnson is a part of that first team nickel defense, he's a starter. I mean, because he's going to play the majority of the snaps of the game in that nickel package. But in the traditional Madden depth chart of cornerbacks, I just wonder if perhaps we could still see Buster Screen as the quote-unquote starter on the outside in base defense and Jalen Johnson come in still as a starter in nickel, still play the majority of the snaps on the outside, but still give Buster Screen that expanded role in base defense. That's the only thing I'm still sort of questioning, is that you can still call Jalen Johnson a starter and still give Buster Screen the quote-unquote starting reps at outside cornerback in your base defense. But in practice, the nickel defense will still be your primary usage, which will have Jalen Johnson on the field, and so he would be a starter in that sense. But if the Bears came out in their base package for that first snap of the game, it wouldn't stun me if Jalen Johnson wasn't on the field, and that's part of the way they bring him into this a little bit more slowly, given the injury that he was talking about there and some of the limitations he had at times during practice. Maybe playing him on the field for every snap as a first game of his rookie season might be a little bit much to throw on his plate, so it wouldn't surprise me if we saw a little bit more Buster Screen, but anytime you get five DBs on the field, Jalen Johnson will be there. It's really going to be fun to see all these pieces come together, particularly on defense, and see this Bears defense get back to their brand of top five football, and you can be sure we will break it all down for you right here on the Locked On Bears podcast. So make sure that you subscribe on whatever app you're using to listen right now, because that's the best way to keep up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Tomorrow, we will be joined by Matt Deary, who's the host of Locked On Lions here on the Locked On Podcast Network, and he's going to give us the scoop on what we can expect from Matthew Stafford and company on that side of the ball, who I'm particularly high on the Lions offense, but their defense is the big question, and I'm really curious to pick Matt's brain about whether some of the improvements they've made there will be a difference maker, or if we're in line for a shootout here in week one and pretty much every week for the Detroit Lions. So you're going to want to tune in back for that. We'll always keep you up to date on any and all breaking news out of Chicago. Every podcast will always make sure you're not missing a thing. All you got to do is tune in every day, and more importantly, bear down.